Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Open House, a fresh, fun, and real podcast where I, Louise Rumble, invite you inside the therapy room with me to learn from some of the very best psychologists, therapists, and sex and intimacy coaches that I have found. No topic is off the table, no question too juicy, and no experience too shameful. At Open House, everyone is welcome. And we're on a mission to develop a new mental health experience for all, because we believe that true happiness is coming home to yourself under the layers and layers of you that society has told you to be. As ever, please remember that this podcast is for entertainment purposes only, and you should always seek professional medical help when necessary. Now, let's get into it, and I'll see you on the other side. Hi, my friends. I'm so excited for you to get into today's episode. And if you haven't already listened to last week's episode with Dana Doswell, talking about all things shame and how it's different to regret and guilt, as well as how it impacts our nervous system, then please go back and listen to that one before you get into this one. Last week, we were talking about how shame can directly shape our nervous systems and the way that we show up in the world, our coping mechanisms, even the way that we drink and smoke and take drugs. And I think that today's episode is the perfect follow-on from that foundational information that we discussed last week. Today is a personal story, and I think what comes through to me is how powerful and strong that Christina is for sharing her story, but also that when you have soft and kind, emotionally aware and emotionally intelligent people around you, we shouldn't actually have to think twice about sharing the things that we've lived through. The more and more that I've shared about my experiences, my sexual past, promiscuity, infidelity, and more, the shame has evaporated to the point that it just doesn't exist anymore. I don't feel shameful. I don't feel regretful. I don't feel guilty. I now understand that these were just part of the beautiful, painful, incredible pageant of my human experience that have shaped me and developed me into the woman that I am today. And I'm sure that Christina feels the same way. Also, the more and more that I've been having these conversations in real life, I also more clearly see other people sharing their stories. And it's sometimes some of the most unlikely people that have done or experienced things that you would never imagine. So just because you think you're the only one that has a slightly blemished past, that definitely is not the truth. One of the things that I'm most obsessed with about Christina is her concept of the sacred slut. We get into that today, but it's been a huge part of my journey is learning to love these parts of me and to worship them and respect them and adore them, as well as learning to respect and adore my body rather than reject them. And in my experience, the more that you can worship and adore your sacred slut within, the people and the partners around you will as well. Since starting to do this healing work, healing my own sexual trauma, I've never come into contact with a man who has shamed me for who I am, how I've lived, or who I've slept with. And if they did, they would literally never get access to me. And that's one of Christina's key messages from today. So please know, before you listen to this episode, that if you have anyone in your life who shames you for your past, they are not your people, they are not your allies, and that is definitely not your soulmate. Because for no matter how much you think they love you, true love doesn't involve judgment and shaming. Christina has inspired me, and I hope you take inspiration from this episode too. And if you've suffered with any type of sexual trauma, please know that you're not alone and that somatic healing will change your life. You can't consciously talk your way out of situations when your body is holding on to the memory. I know that Christina has some resources around the sexual slut. She also has workshops and programs and journeys. So if you do feel called to step into this space, head over to the show notes. You can find Christina, access to her social media, her website, her programs, and so much more. Now, let's get into it. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Open House podcast. I've got Christina Zayas with me. She's actually out here in Tulum as well. I was hoping that we might have been able to record this episode together in person, but unfortunately, there's not a lot of shops in Tulum that sell a lot of technological equipment. So I wasn't able to get some of the things that I needed for us to do an in-person recording. I am so excited to share her story with you today. Ever since I found her on Instagram, which was months before I even got introduced to her in person, which serendipitously happened, we have a mutual friend who was like, you guys would get on so well. I found Christina on Instagram and I was like, oh my God, this woman is amazing. She is beautiful. She is strong. Today, we are going to be talking about all things facing your shadow, finding and meeting that sacred slut that is inside of you that we all need to love rather than learning to hate, We're going to be talking about worshipping yourself, self-esteem, self-confidence, goddess worship, rage release, feminine rage. There are so many things that we are going to talk about today that I don't actually think we have ever covered on the podcast. So I am so excited to have Christina here. And I always love to ask people just to intro themselves sometimes with a bit of a backstory. So yes, I would love it if you could just introduce yourself, tell us a tiny bit about yourself and give me an overview about what the crazy last 10, 20, 30 years of your life have brought you to this moment that we're sat here together.
First of all, I think we're done with the podcast. With all those compliments, I'm like, I am complete. I'm ready to go on with my day. Thank you so much for such a beautiful, beautiful intro. So hi, I'm Christina Zayas. I am a self-worship and mindset coach. The long and short of it is I ended up here because of the denial of everything, the denial of my sacred sexuality, of who I am at my core, denying just qualities about me, the gold, also the bad. The bad can make someone who they are, and you can flip that into something so amazing. It's not always this bad thing you need to toss away into the dark. I'm always going through something. And my recent initiation was healing the father wound. And I'm sure we'll wrap that into the end. But wow, just all this healing and all of these journeys have truly transformed me. And I'm just so blessed and honored to experience these initiations, even though they're dragging me. It's as if spirit just strapped to my ankles to a truck and just dragged me down Tulum streets.
I really appreciate you saying like you feel like you're always going through it, because I am also going through it. I've been facing so many shadows and fears, and I'm breaking fucking huge cycles that have been going for 16, 17 years. I think you and I are here in this space where you said it's about denial, right? You and I have both denied for so long parts of us, huge parts of us. And that is no way to live. I think there becomes a time when it just becomes too heavy to deny, to suppress, to avoid, to run away. And it is about turning. I was going to say turning to the light, but it's probably you can't get to the light until you go through that shadow. What does shadow work mean to you? Has it been like a huge part of your journey? And yeah, do you feel like you've had to go through the shadow to step a little bit towards the light?
Absolutely. I denied myself. I denied myself my power. And anyone who will ask me to be smaller, or maybe not outright ask, but sort of expect that of me or suggest it in any way, is also denying themselves. So we're denying ourselves for someone who is not honoring themselves and also denying themselves. So it's just like this vicious cycle.
Do you think it's fair to say that to step towards the light, you need to step into that space of shadow and darkness first? Has that been a big part of getting you to where you are today, is going into the darkness?
Shadow work is the work. It is the work that I've embarked on since I got sober. We don't have a true concept of what it is to honor ourselves, because we are surrounded by other people who are still denying themselves of something. And the way through that is shadow work. Is through the darkness. I like to say that I live in the light, but I play in the shadows. But I'm often in the shadows. I'm often there because everything is in the darkness. And there's no way to the light without going there. There's no way through anything in this life. The only way through that is to go back into doing inner child work, into the things that we've repressed. When we're talking about sacred sexuality, the only way to integrate our sensuality is to go into our sexual shadow. It's all shadow work. It's all going back in time to when we were hurt the most, when we were hurt the first time, when the wound began, and healing that. And if you're not doing that, if you're avoiding that, then you will always remain unfulfilled in life. There will always be a part of you that's denying something, because you're even denying yourself healing by not doing shadow work.
I love that we're talking about this concept of denying. It's something we have never, ever spoken about on the podcast in 100+ episodes. It feels so important because I think so many of us are denying ourselves.
I think we've been denying ourselves since we were literally children. You know, like you said, the first pains that happen, we get taught to deny ourselves. We might not even have conscious memories of that. We then become adults who deny our feelings, deny our expression of our feelings. So I think this concept of denial is really, really important. Just to ask yourself, have you ever truly gone to the depths of your darkness to work out who you are? And can you share that with someone? And I know that before I started to do this work, before I started to go to therapy, started my deep spiritual practice, I was just running. I was running from so much fucking trauma, people that had hurt me, so many people that I had hurt. I was running. How did I do that? Through drugs, through alcohol, through men. That was the father wound, the validation, just constant, the attention source, never truly looking below the surface. Do you think it's fair to say that if you deny your truth, deny your essence, deny the pain that we've gone through, you're more likely to run away from it, suppress it, distract it, avoid it? Would you say that that was part of your relationship with substances before you got sober?
Absolutely. And it was as if I was on a loop. I forget what movie I just saw recently, but they were trying to escape. And they couldn't escape. They would just like run out, go to the other room, and they were back in the same room. And they're just continuing this loop, this vicious cycle. And that's what it's like when we are avoidant, when we're not facing our shit. And it maybe we're not running back to the same room and it's not that simple. But what it looks like is cyclical relationships. You're dating the same guy over and over again, the same fuckboy, getting ghosted. And all of that, like for me, stemmed, yes, from a father wound, but also not knowing who I am. And like when you don't know who you are and how incredible you are and how amazing you are and not seeing yourself, you can't really expect anyone else to see you. So if you're living like that, you're denying yourself the honor of truly seeing you. No one is ever going to experience that. No one is going to see you better than you see yourself. And so, and that doesn't happen until you truly like stop everything, stop so that you can focus on you to give yourself what it is that you need. In my journey, the drinking was helpful because it served its purpose of disconnecting. And drinking for the first time at 14 did something to me. I was sexually abused at 7 and I didn't know what to do with that information, what to do with that pain. So with the tools I had as a 7-year-old, I just forgot about it because no one could help me. No one could protect me. Like nothing was happening. So what do I do? So as a 7-year-old, I just pop it to the back and forget about it because what else am I left to do? So drinking, I'm like, oh, I don't feel these weird feelings. I actually feel like a different person. I can be someone different with alcohol. And then it became every single time I drank, I was drinking to get messed up. And that is how I always drank. And I looked back at my life and thought, wow, I was always running. I was always running from that feeling, but it was as if I was in that loop trying to escape the room and then ending up right back in that room. Because you wake up the next day, the problems are not gone. It's worse, in fact, because now you're hungover. You did some shit you don't want to hear about, yet your friends are texting you about it. And it just was a way for me to repress that felt good for a bit. And it felt like the answer, but it wasn't the answer. Alcohol is not like no substance, nothing that's going to help you escape yourself is the answer.
I'm so grateful for you just so vulnerably sharing your experience there. Thank you so much. And I can't imagine what it would be like going through something like that at 7, feeling alone and there being no solution. And I think it's very important that we talk about these things more openly because abuse is prolific. It is everywhere. I have seen it very, very close to home with people that I love dearly. It's still not spoken about enough. So I just wanted to first of all say thank you for your strength and your vulnerability to share that. Even by doing that, you will help so many people just being like, this is something I can talk about. This is a conversation that I can have, that I don't have to hide in the dark anymore. And like you said, there are these things that we suppress into the darkness. The substances take us away from them, right? And you have this realization where you're like, fuck, this is like dark. And I have those moments too. Like I remember like the first time I came to Tulum, like 4 or 5 years ago, I was in the depths of the darkest place of my life. The first thing I did, I went to the fucking pharmacy. I bought the over-the-counter pain meds. I went home. I fucked myself up and I literally just like slept for, I don't even know how long. My boyfriend at the time had to call the hotel to get them to come and literally check I was alive. We kind of, I think sometimes invalidate the depths of the darkness that we have gone to. And so I just really want to thank you for sharing that experience. And I want to go into the darkness of sex, sexuality, sensuality. I would love to talk to you about this concept of the sacred slut. What does the sacred slut mean to you?
So the sacred slut is our little, well, not little. She is grand and big and loud and fiery. But this, I guess, beast that lives within all of us. And she can be suppressed, but she will make her way through us. And she sometimes will cause us pelvic pain, will cause us cysts and ruptures and painful periods, trying to get our attention that she needs to be heard. And the sacred slut has always lived within me, repressed, unintegrated, uninitiated. But she would shine at times. And when I look back at my life and everything that I've gone through today, it all makes sense. The sexual abuse, not knowing what to do with it, that going into my sexual shadow as a result of being sexually abused. In my teen years, I got informed a bit in high school. I went to an alternative high school in the Lower East Side called Satellite Academy. Such a great school. And one of the best things that ever happened to me was going there because it was very intimate and the teachers were very close to us. And we used to go to this clinic called The Door. And there is where I learned all about sex and rape and molestation and all this and what happened to me. And I was able to think about what would happen now that this has happened to me. I have a choice. I can go out there in the world and be a slut. I can, you know, fuck away or try to fuck away all this pain, or I could just not do that and, you know, wait for the right person who's going to love me and care for me. And I thought about that at such a young age. I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to choose men who I feel like would care for me. I think that what I wasn't aware of until recently, what I was thinking of was I need a protector because I was hurt and no one protected me as a kid. So with that in mind, I wasn't very promiscuous. I waited until I had boyfriends and eventually just somehow got into a line of work that involved sex, involved, well, I guess it involved, I'm trying to like skip around it. I was a sex worker for a bit. So even though I wasn't promiscuous, I ended up being a sex worker eventually. And it started out with doing sensual body work, which was body rub and hand job. And the woman that hired me with a girl, we're both very young. I had so much anger and rage and like, okay, maybe I was getting something right by not being a whore and fucking everyone. But like, okay, I'm here now. And if anyone can do this job, it's someone like me. And then another part that was even darker was I thought that I would be taking my power back because the men were on the table and I was in charge. And for me at the time, I truly thought that this was going to help me and it would be some sort of like therapeutic resolution to solving my issues of being sexually abused. I made a lot of money, so much money, but I didn't respect the work and I secretly hated myself for doing the work. So I just spent the money like crazy. I was like a drug dealer. Just making fast money. After another failed relationship with a bad guy, I lost my apartment and couldn't do body work anymore. It stopped working. And I think that that was spirit's way of telling me it's time to get out. Instead, I reached out to someone that I knew who was an escort and like, fuck it, I have to keep my apartment. I was going to court and it was just getting darker and darker and messier. I haven't slept around my whole life. Maybe it's time. Maybe I can get a buck off of it or a few thousand dollars because these women were making a lot of money. And I did it. And then I had a really rough first experience because it was kind of an accident. the woman thought she was booking me for a bodywork session and I didn't count the money up front. So I didn't know. That would have confirmed what it was. And so I slept with this guy for the amount of a bodywork session and it deeply traumatized me. And that was it. I partied nonstop. I drank every single day. I was a blogger at the time, so I still kept up this very chic life of wearing designers and going to fashion shows and going to events and meeting people. But I was dead inside. I had no soul. I wasn't there. And that was the result of repressing and running and doing things that I just didn't want to do and greatly suffering from that for a long time. I ended up working for Nylon Magazine for a while and got a new boyfriend who didn't know anything. And as a result of me repressing this, me stuffing it down and me pretending it never happened, I started to date guys who judged me for what I wore, thought that what I did was, anything that I did was slutty. I would take a photo for my blog and it was like too much, or I couldn't talk about sex, or I couldn't be myself. I still couldn't because of the people I was choosing as a result of me repressing everything and me denying my truth. And that was really, really rough. I'm grateful that I can look back at all this and just say like, yeah, I've been through a lot. Yes, it was dark. Yes, it was tough, but fuck, I don't have to live like that anymore. And now that I have looked at everything and truly honored all parts of me, the ugly parts especially, I'll never have to choose a man to accept a version of me that's not even me.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I knew some of your story from social media and whatnot, but to hear, you know, the depths of the darkness that you went to, but also how life happens over such a prolonged period of time. I think this is one of my takeaways, is that people say or think, oh, I hit rock bottom. The truth is that happens often over the course of months, years, sometimes even a decade plus. I think what was fascinating was that you said, because of the parts of you that you were suppressing, you were picking men who were judgmental. And I think for anyone listening that doesn't know a lot about shadow work, what I'm learning about shadow work is that ultimately, for example, if you condemn or judge yourself, you will attract people that will condemn or judge you too. I'd love it if you could just explain that a little bit, how often the surroundings outside of us can mirror what is going on in our shadow.
When I got sober is what changed the game. I got sober at 34 and I've realized at 34, I had no concept of self-love. I didn't know that I didn't love myself this whole time for 34 years. But where would I have learned it? There was no place. I had to sit with that pain of how could I not love myself? And I was working with a sponsor who was amazing. It was my second sponsor. And she's like, look, it's okay. But we don't have time to sit there. We don't have time to sit on, oh, I didn't love myself this whole time. Like, yes, it's true. But now it's time to do the work. Now it's time to learn to love yourself. Can you learn to love everything that you've done in your life? Can you learn to love yourself when you were an escort? Can you learn to love yourself when you picked a guy who put you down? Can you learn to love those parts in order to get to the other side where you don't want to pick up a drink? You have to love yourself fully, have compassion for yourself and everything that you've done. And that was a wild ride. I did a lot of work. The next steps for me was really digging deep and sitting with all that I've gone through and then learning to love those parts, the good, the bad, the ugly, the in-between, and creating a new concept for self-love. Maybe I didn't have someone to look at, my mom or any of the women around me, but I could create that for me. And I needed to create it for me. It took me a while. And I really didn't have my breakthrough until my last relationship, where I revisited that idea of like, I'm here again. Like, I chose this person. I must not love myself. And I was just like, whoa. Because we can go into these relationships and it turns out terrible or just not how we want. And we look back like, damn, I regret that. I didn't need that in my life. I could have done without it, but that's not true. That was an initiation. That was medicine. That relationship showed me that there were just certain parts of myself that I was still denying because I chose someone again who didn't know my past and I could never tell my past to. I chose these men who would never in a million years accept that I was an escort. My ex-boyfriend is Albanian, such a strict family. Like having tattoos was a big deal. I was still repressing that. I still couldn't make peace with that. And I was still wrestling with it. And that was the beginning of this new level in my life. This, like, I was stepping in the direction of my priestesshood. And I didn't realize it at the time. I needed everything that I've gone through, every single thing, even being sexually abused as a kid. I needed all of that to happen to get me here, to get me to understand who I am, who I've always been. And once I was able to do that and accept all of the parts, that for me was true self-love. That's true self-worship. And I said before, it's easy for us to love ourselves when we're having a good day. Like, fuck, my body looks great. I moved to Tulum. I'm super fit. I love my hair. I can love myself on these days. Of course, that's easy. But what about when I'm being initiated and dragged through the mud and getting ghosted by a guy and feeling like a piece of shit because it triggered all of these things of not feeling worthy enough, not feeling good enough. And how do I love myself on those days? I still have to. I still have to get up, as much as I don't want to, face that mirror, do my mirror work, tell myself through the tears that I fucking love myself. I worship myself. And I got this. I took a priestess pass course by my friend Melissa Boudreau. And that shit changed my fucking life. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm home. I am a priestess. Holy shit. Through that program, there was a lot of inner child work, a lot of meditations, a lot of shadow work. And I nurtured my inner child in ways that I'd never have thought of before. And it helped me to have a conversation with my mom about my sexual trauma. I hadn't spoken to my mom about this since I was 19. And we had a brief conversation and it wasn't comfortable at all. It was, I think we both were terrified and we kind of just wanted to get it over with. I'm 40 now. So that's a big chunk of years not talking about something. So I revisited that conversation. I told my mom that I love her and I forgive her. I was sexually abused by her boyfriend. I don't think my mom knew. So through that program, I was able to access these parts of myself that I denied, came back home to me, loved so much on my inner child that she was feeling safe enough to talk to mom again about this. Truly talk to my mom about everything. And then share that I was an escort. I got on social media. I created a live talking about this. And that just opened up so much. I mentioned the sacred slut on my Instagram before. Like, I would create a post of me dancing. You know, I just now have this deep understanding that we're all sacred sluts. Some of the most beautiful work that I've ever done, helping women reconnect to their erotic power, knowing what to do with it afterwards. Like, okay, now I can use it for this. And I can connecting with their bodies and dancing. And my students would get on social media and start dancing and inform their male friends about sacred sexuality and what that means. Like, we are sacred. We are the women. We're the priestesses who take war out of men. So back in the day, priestesses would, they're in this temple and they would invite men who'd come from war into the temples and fuck them, transmute their pain and all the shit that they saw in war, transmute it through their womb and turn it into love and joy. And like, that is the power that we have as women. When we date these stupid guys who don't deserve us, we're picking up on their energy. And then what, we're sick, we're like have migraines, it's stuck in our womb. But we stop doing that and we really focus on ourselves and learn to love, truly love and worship and honor ourselves in all the ways, the good, the bad, and the uglies. Then we start to invite people who do deserve us. When we're with them sexually, we feel safe with them. We are connecting with them. We are able to lovingly transmute what they have. And we're doing it from a place of joy. We want to do that. Not just like casually picking up shit from a guy that we hooked up with last Friday.
You just shared so much there that so many will take value from. The point that really, really, really stuck out for me initially was how, you know, in the past you would date men who you couldn't share your truth with. That used to be me as well. Like, I went through promiscuous stages in my life, but I would never share with my partners like that I'd been promiscuous. And I would always just say like, oh yeah, I've slept with some people. You know, if we ever went near the numbers game, I was like, we're not fucking doing this. And my ex-boyfriend, who actually had slept with like literally no one in comparison to me, he just taught me. He was like, I love it that you are experienced. Yeah. And that you are an amazing and incredible lover. And you would not maybe be that way if you had slept with two men. And he was the first person that started to really, really teach me that like, oh my God, I can love this sacred slut. I can also be fucking grateful that she's taught me to know my body, to know my pleasure, to know how to pleasure a man, to know how to pleasure a woman, all these different things. When you can embrace your truth, you will be able to find partners that you can embrace your truth. And I think this conversation is going to inspire people. So I guess where I'd love to just wrap up today is, do you have any like active practices around like giving away that shame, learning to speak your truth? How have you stepped into this space? Is it self-worship? What's the difference between like self-confidence, self-worship? But I'd love to just know on like a more of a day-to-day basis, how you or how other people listening could learn to love the parts of them that they've denied rather than hold them in the darkness, shame and punish ourselves.
I'll reflect from a bad day. So as I'm having a bad day, when I got ghosted recently, it really triggered the fuck out of me and brought me to the not good enoughs. And from there, how do I worship myself? And I actually have had a partner who accepted all parts of me. There is someone who is going to accept everything. I don't have to worry about that anymore. So today I don't necessarily have to convince myself that someone will love every part. Like if they don't, then they're not invited into my world, period. If you are thinking about, even if it's a friend, thinking about judging anything that I've done, that I have made, if you know what it took for me to make fucking peace with this shit, no way. You're kicked out of my life. That's it. But on the tough days, what I do for myself is like you ask myself what it is that I need. And when it was getting ghosted, it was sitting with my inner child, sitting with the wounded little girl who didn't feel like enough, sitting with the realization that the reason why getting ghosted hurt so much is because the first man to ghost me was my father. And then going back to that time and sitting with those feelings, doing my mirror work. If I can't face myself in the mirror, I have bigger problems. Looking myself in the eye and saying, I love myself. I love you. And I had this thing when I started my mirror work back in the day, I would say like, I could tell a man that I love him after a month and mean it. But I had a problem telling myself that I loved me. So a lot of my self-worship practices include inner child work. So sitting with my inner child, hugging myself for at least from a minute to 5 minutes and just sitting with the memories of when I was hurt and then going back into that space as an adult and seeing my inner child and talking to her takes 5 minutes max. Meditating sometimes, doing my mirror work, dancing. Dancing is by far one of my most favorite things to do. I haven't yet started my somatic practices yet, but it's kind of there, grinding, moving my hips. Sometimes putting on, I have a playlist I'm creating called Lunatic Dancing, and I allow myself to dance like a maniac, just crazy all over the place. My cat judges me. It's fantastic. I feel so good afterwards. I let myself be ugly, raw, like fall on the floor. I close my eyes. I love it. Another thing is just talking to myself, journaling, like all of these things. Some might say, oh, that's so simple. That doesn't really crack. It does. It cracks the code. It cracks. It starts to, when we don't do any of that, we just keep the shell. So when we start doing all the things, we start to chip away and chip inside closer and closer, deeper and deeper into our subconscious and start to truly get to the core of things. So all of those practices are what has helped change me, and it keeps me sane. Working out, I love yoga, helping me move my body in ways that I maybe don't think about when I'm home crying and feeling like shit. All of that's so good. And then when I am feeling good, how I take care of myself is self-pleasure. I get out my wand. I make it a ritual. I light my candles and my incense, and I sage my crystal wand and just really get into it. And then sit in bed holding my body and thinking about, what do I want to dedicate this orgasm to? Do I want to dedicate it to myself? Do I want to sit here and call back my power from all places and all times? Do I want to call in something that I'm desiring right now? Imagining what it feels like to call back my power, what it's going to feel like when it's fully in my body. Am I going to feel more magnetic? So those are my most loved practices. It's part of my whole self-worship rituals.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing. And I feel like a lot of people will have a lot to learn from you, I think, in terms of sacred self-worship and sex magic. We haven't even got into it today. We need another 3 hours together to get into that. But I'm going to link everything for you from you in the show notes so people can come and find you on social media, so they can come and work with you, so they can do your workshops, take your programs, because you cover all of that. But most of all, I think as we come to wrap up, I just want to say thank you. I think it takes an incredibly strong woman to share what you've shared today. But also, I think it should be the most normal discussion in the world. The truth is, they are not normal discussions. But by you showing up in this space, you are helping to normalize all of the things that you have gone through. And you will be validating the lived experience of thousands of women listening to this. So I just want to say thank you from my heart for showing people that it's okay to be in the darkness and to talk about the darkness. I wish I had found a Christina 5 years ago, because I ran and I ran and I ran and I ran and I built stories and narratives that didn't even need to be built. That is just society's conditioning. The truth is, we are all beautiful, sacred, special, incredible fucking human beings, men, mainly women listening to this. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that because we're told that we should be something different. And, you know, tying it back to the beginning of the episode, denying is no way to live. Making yourself smaller to fit in with those around you, the views of others. And like Christina said, if there is anyone around you that is making you smaller, that's telling you that you have to be smaller, they are not your fucking people. They are not your tribe. They are not your sisters. Trust me, there are women and men out there who will be able to hold space for you and love you for exactly who you are and everything you have been through. So, Christina, thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your truth, sharing your story. And yeah, is there anything else you would like to add before we wrap up?
Yes, I want to say that it is not hard to find someone to accept the parts of you. That is a lie. What's hard is when we deny our truth of who we are, the work that comes from that. That's the hard part. Having to clean that mess up because we believed for so long that it's hard. No one's going to love me the way that I am. That is fucking bullshit. I had friends who judged me for who I was too. And when I came to Tulum, I had to just clear and cut everyone to find people who honor me. They're not going to make fun of me being a witch or talking about it or even airing out my quote unquote dirty laundry of being an escort online, because that's something that would have been judged by my old friends. What's hard is the cleanup. And the quicker we can get to the cleanup, the quicker we can get to the shadow work and healing and really truly finding yourself and coming back home to yourself, the quicker that we can fucking get everything that we want. The man, the house, the whatever it is that you want, you can get everything that you fucking want. It's yours. But we have to first believe that it's not hard and that we are powerful.
That is so beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope that we can have you back at some point and we can continue a part two, because I feel like there are so many things we didn't even get to scratch the surface on. I guess that's the beauty of life, is that there's no way you can sum up 40 years of lessons in 40 minutes. So thank you again, and I will speak to you very soon.